It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already June 20th. Where did the time go? It just seems like, I don't know, in my case, March 16th is a designated day for me where our world changed upside down because the ADA at that point determined that only emergencies could be seen at dental offices. Now, since that time, we've done a lot of relief efforts to dentists and to group purchasers. And in New Hampshire, on May 11th, dentists could start seeing, you know, for regular visits. So it's only been roughly, you know, 3 months, and I know my world has been sort of topsy-turvy, but we're slowly getting it back. You know, we furloughed employees. Some of those folks are coming back, and more people going back to the dentist. It's hard to believe it's only been 3 months. I want to give a big shout-out to Dr. Steve Koppel, who appeared on my show last weekend, because like many businesses, PT, physical therapy, also was put on pause, even though they were considered essential workers. Steve had temporarily put most of his locations on pause, and they're back up and running. And in the spirit of transparency and not violating any HIPAA, I've actually needed some rehab on my knee, and I've seen what it's like in Steve Coppola's organization right there in Pleasant Street, and it's very well done. It's efficient. It's safe. You know, we all wear masks. We're all socially distanced. So obviously, you know, our world has changed, and another world that has changed, of course, is arts, theater, and so forth. So this weekend, June 20th and 21st, joining me is Joe Gleason from the Capital Center for the Arts. And Joe, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know even though some theater activities have been forestalled, I mean, you're actually quite busy. So thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thanks, Tom. Happy to be on the air with you.
Super. And, of course, and again, in the spirit of transparency, I've been a board member of the Capital Center for the Arts way back in the M.T. Menino days, and we've had other employee colleagues such as Kathy Walker on the board. And it's an organization, the Capital Center for the Arts, that's been long since, you know, near and dear to my heart, and we've sponsored many shows. For example, one of my favorites was going to be the Frank Sinatra show, which obviously, you know, had to be postponed from the spring. So why don't you tell us, Joe, your background, how long you've been at the Capital Center for the Arts, what got you into the business of theater and arts, and I think that might be an interesting background, and then we'll get specifically more into, you know, what Nikki has presented, the Governor's Task Force on Reopening, et cetera.
Right. I'm a transplant. My dad was in the service, so I discovered theater up in the North Country. We were living in Whitefield, and I was attending high school there, so the Weather Vane Theater was my first live theater experience.
Wow. Someone's been to the Weather Vane Theater. Cool.
Yeah. I just loved theater from the moment I set foot in that place, and so I made a career out of it. I got my degree in theater production and became a lighting designer, amongst other things. And when we moved back to New Hampshire, I've worked at the Palace. And actually, in 95 is my first experience here at the Capital Center for the Arts. I came on board as the director of production and facilities back then. So I did work with MT Menino back then. And there were some great times those first 2 years of getting this place off the ground again, as it were.
So have you been working continuously since there? So tell us the rest of your journey.
Yeah, so in 97, we had our third child, and I decided, you know, theater schedule is a little bit hard for families. So I went into IT, spent 15 years over at Monadnock Paper Mills, great company, by the way.
Of course it is, yeah.
And was their IT manager, as a second career for me. And after a while, I really missed participating in theater rather than just seeing shows. So I decided to go back and get a master's in arts administration, which I completed. And I temporarily moved out of state to be executive director at the Clayton Opera House in upstate New York. And then I joined the board here, so I'm also a past board member of the Capital Center. Served for 5 years, and near the end of that term, Nikki approached me. They were beginning the Capital campaign, which, you know, has resulted in our brand new venue down the street, the Bank of New Hampshire stage. And it was great. It was like, do you want to join staff? We were looking for an assistant executive director, so I took her up on that and joined staff now almost 5 years ago.
Wow, what a journey, and I'm sure it's great to have a treasured resource, someone that's into the arts and theater but also has this technology background, because I think particularly now, and maybe we can just sort of segue into this topic for a moment, this is kind of a merger of virtual and arts, correct?
Yeah, we see a lot of activity right now. Artists that can't perform anymore live have switched over to doing some live streaming from their own homes or studios. I think that's going to be a growing trend. Once we get back into our buildings, we plan on offering live streaming along with the live concert. So for those folks that may not be comfortable yet coming back to attend in person, we'll give them an option, a secondary revenue stream. I mean, every little bit helps. The arts usually operate on a shoestring budget as it is. So we're looking forward to it. And yes, the technology is one of my passions as well, and being able to put that knowledge to use in this changing and difficult time is...
So you're probably a huge asset for the Capital Center of the Arts. I was watching a number of document shows on TV, and basically this whole kind of creation of the virtual arts world is, you know, so important. So mm-hmm. Lucky to have you there, Joe. I appreciate that. So you mentioned something, too, that I always try to explain to my team, and when we do sponsorships. I know this formula hasn't changed too much. I mean, tickets only cover a certain amount of the production, so you do need, you know, sponsorship. So tell us kind of how that, you know, that formula works. And it's also one thing I always thought was interesting is sometimes the bigger the performer, even though you might get a sellout, you might actually make less money than a lesser known performer who is getting less and maybe only sell 3/4 of the show out, but because you're paying the performer less. So tell us how the importance of sponsorships and memberships.
Yeah, that's the lifeblood of the organization, and you're quite correct. Ticket sales, and I know ticket prices have been on the rise across the industry, but part of that reason is because the artists are earning more and more of their income through live performances, the touring aspect. And so we don't get to keep very much of that ticket price that we charge. About 85% of the ticket value goes back to the artist and to the production expenses and marketing to put that show on. Overall, we're a nonprofit, but we own our two buildings, and we earn about 70% of our revenue each year comes from ticket sales, food and concession sales, and the rest has to be through sponsorship, membership, and other contributed income. So there is a funding gap there that we have been fortunate in this community that's been very supportive over the years, and Northeast Delta has been Dental has been one of the long-time supporters, I think, since the very beginning.
Absolutely. When I first moved to New Hampshire, you mentioned 95, because that's when I moved to New Hampshire, and then I think either later that year or by 1996, one of our attorneys, Bob Dasson, introduced me to MT, and then I got on the board, and as you correctly point out, it was kind of the early years of the rebirth of the Capital Center of the Arts, and of course, you know, fast forward, you know, 25 years, and now you have the Bank of New Hampshire stage. So tell us what the Bank of New Hampshire Theater stage is about, and what type of performances are done there versus the original Capital Center of the Arts. Recognizing at the moment there nothing is in person, but why don't you give us the distinction?
Right. For several years, I think almost a decade now, the the studies that we've been looking at and the changing demographics and wanting to attract younger audiences has really pointed us towards the need for a smaller venue that could bring in relatively unknown artists or lesser-known artists with smaller fees, smaller production costs, and trying to put them into this large 1,300-seat, the Chubb Theater, is cost prohibitive, and so we were having to pass up too much talent, I guess, is the best way to put it. And as a result, communities like Burlington or Portland, Maine, and certainly down in Boston, would get all this fresh, up-and-coming musical talent, primarily music, although comedians as well, and we had no place to put them in this community. So we saw that as a drawback. Spent quite a few years trying to anticipate how we would do that. And the Bank of New Hampshire Stage, the old Concord Theater building, became available. Steve Dupree had approached us about an opportunity to take that over, rehab it. So I'd say we jumped on that opportunity, but we were very thoughtful in analyzing the financial impact of taking on a second property. And it really did come down to would the community support us? And quite frankly, they stepped right up, and we have completed that capital campaign to fully fund that renovation, which we had to upfront the costs on. So,
yeah, no, I remember the campaign well, and obviously, you know, Nikki approached me. So by way of background to my listening audience, this shows you the importance of becoming a member, buying tickets for shows, whether they're virtual. The website is CCANH, all one word, CCANH.com. Tell us, Joe, and then we'll break for commercial, the benefits of being a member.
Yeah, member benefits are great. One of the best things you get is ticket insurance, and that's at the very lowest level membership, which is currently $50 annually, which just means if you can't make it that night, you give us a day notice or 2 days notice, and we will convert your ticket purchase to a stored credit that you can use for a future performance. That way you don't ever lose out on seeing a show that or wasting your money on a ticket purchase that you couldn't attend because of a schedule change, for instance. The other thing is our membership is actually good for the Capital Center for the Arts, which includes both the Chubb Theater at 44 South Main and the new Bank of New Hampshire Stage at 16 South Main. You do get early buying opportunities. Best seats go to members. And in fact, if you don't buy in advance before the public sale happens, we always hold very good member seats that are usually available up to at least a few weeks before the actual performance. So sometimes if you procrastinate too long, you still can get a really great seat as a member.
And since we know human beings can be prone to procrastination, memberships can help. And what is the cost for an individual or a family for a member?
Yeah, it varies. The lowest is our fan club, which is $50 annually. $100 is patron level, and it does go up from there. We do have a special membership club, which is for our, if you have supported us for a long time at higher levels, we do ask for like a 5-year commitment, and that's called Ovation Society. We've got quite a few supporters, and they are just committed to the organization, and we couldn't do it without that extra level of support from our members, but anywhere from $50 to $500 a year, and there are various benefits along the way as you go up in value. Okay.
Great description, and the ovations is definitely worthwhile for those of you that have not partaked on that. The website, again, is ccanh.com, all one word. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio with Joe Gleason from the Capital Center for the Arts, and thank you for joining me this weekend of June 20th and 21st. It's hard to believe that we are closing in on July already, and Joe's agreed to join me this weekend, and I think it's actually quite relevant because one of the things that we'll be talking about momentarily is Nikki Clark, who's the executive director of the Capital Center of the Arts, and Joe have participated with the governor's task force on reopening. So we really want to get into that. I do want to give a big shout out to the listening audience for participating in New Hampshire Gives, which is June 9th and 10th. And several of you I know donated to the Capital Center of the Arts, and I think that's terrific because obviously because of the necessary civil orders resulting from COVID-19, except for virtual events, the Capital Center of the Arts has been shut down. So thanks all of you. So Joe, why don't you talk about Nikki's role in presenting to the governor's task force, and you're kind of, and I know it's a somewhat of a moving target, and it's also phased in and it's reduced capacity. So to the best of your ability and listening audience, just recognize that to some extent this is a moving target. Joe, do your best to kind of describe the process.
Sure. Nikki was invited to speak before the task force back in May, early May, and described the plight of our industry, which is not unlike other businesses that have been impacted, except without shows, we have no revenue stream coming in, and it's very hard to maintain the staffing levels, of course, so we did end up furloughing quite a few of our staff as we were trying to sort through this, how long this process would take. That presentation then led to a sub-work group for the presenting theaters and producing theaters within the state. As you know, we've got many summer stock theaters around the state that had to cancel their summers. Just the timing just did not work out for them. We were hoping and still hope to open more fully at the big theater come September, right after Labor Day. We're still in wait-and-see mode on a lot of this. But that subgroup brought together the leadership, led by Nikki, and there was also Ginny Luby from the New Hampshire State Council on the Arts participated in all of these sessions where we actually wrote the guidance documents from an industry perspective. How can we keep our patrons safe? How do we keep our staff safe? And in our case, we bring in touring shows from around the country that are traveling from state to state, and not every state is doing the same procedures or protocols. So we're trying to figure out how best to keep the folks of New Hampshire protected and ourselves protected from contracting this virus, because no one wants to be sick. And so we wrote the guidance through committee process. It was presented, and I believe we'll be able to open in some reduced capacity for seating, just like the restaurants did. And we're just looking forward to doing the live shows again.
That's awesome. And you make a great point in that you bring in shows from all across the country. So it wasn't just keeping in mind the local safety of New Hampshire residents or patrons of the Capital Center of the Arts, but you have to factor in, where people are coming from, and to extent the show is coming in from one of the COVID hotspots at the time, New York or Boston, obviously that was consideration. So sounds like you all really participated using your expertise and sort of hands-on guidelines for reopening. That's a terrific service, to the community. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yes.
And hopefully we're, somewhat in a phased way on or about July 1st, maybe we'll have a special July 4th celebration. Again, this is a moving target, and we are taping this show, so information could change. So, in light of everything, though, tell us how you've been working with the Concord Community Music School and the City of Concord for perhaps a limited outdoor concert series at the Fletcher Murphy Park.
Yeah, and that came about, quite frankly, Peggy Center from the music school had a conversation with Nikki about using their back entrance, which has a natural stage, a concrete platform area that's covered and faces directly into that small park on Fayette Street. It's a beautiful location. And so we've taken a look at it. We've put in reservations for the dates, and we are still waiting for the approval to do gatherings larger than 10 in the outside. However, the plan is to do Saturday night concerts starting, I think, July 18th is the first one. And right now, 7 p.m., it'll be limited ticketing. We will be charging for that. We'll try to pay the musicians, of course, because they're the ones providing the talent. If that all happens, it will bring live music back into our downtown area, which we are all going to be very, very grateful for. And if we're able to, we will continue that and do shows at the Bank of New Hampshire stage in a limited capacity in July and August as well.
Wow, that is creative and good use of some community experts with Peggy. That's terrific. So tell us, what would be the rough capacity, if we start with the Bank of New Hampshire stage first, how that would work, and maybe you would begin by live streaming process?
Yeah, in this beginning phase, everybody is, it's really based around the social distancing guidelines, which are currently 6 feet apart. We did a lot of looking at how other venues are planning to open around the country. And one thing that came out was groups of people, you know, cohabiting or family groups that come as a unit together, you wouldn't have to keep each individual 6 feet apart. So the capacity is not a fixed percentage, but it's a range based on the distancing of various sized groups within the theater. Now, we think our best case is a capacity of about 75 people within the Bank of New Hampshire stage. And that's down from a maximum capacity of 424, just to give you an idea of how steep a reduction this really is. Now, we can do quite a bit of local music. I know there's a lot of musicians out there eager to perform in front of people again and not just from their living room. So we do hope to fill the summer as much as we can as soon as we're allowed to open. And we will be adding a live stream component because with the capacity reduction, the opportunity to earn enough revenue to make it worthwhile to do the event needs to be supplemented. And, you know, we could keep asking for donations, which we will.
Again, that is ccanh.com. And I think just as an aside, I mean, obviously, yeah, this is a jewel. Not just for Concord area, but for all of New Hampshire and indeed all of northern New England. So donations definitely welcome. But I think your creativity and your technology background, I think, could lead, as I said earlier, this kind of merger of arts and technology into a paid live streaming. So with your technical subject matter expertise, exactly how would that work?
Yeah, the live streaming component?
Yes.
Well, we are fortunate to have a company which is led by John Gaffrere. He's a videographer. Many of our Concord friends know him. And he's providing the camera work for the concert series at the Fletcher Murphy Park once we get the go-ahead to actually do that. I'll be providing the other side of it, the live streaming piece, through my research into technology. We've actually bought some equipment already, and we'll be tying that all in and trying it out on an unpaid basis at first. And once we get all the kinks worked out, we plan on moving that whole setup into the Bank of New Hampshire stage and doing side by side and probably well into the future, just as a regular component of as many shows as we can. And one thing with the music business or performing business of any kind is the rights to perform live that we pay the ASCAP, BMI, and the other music royalty groups the privilege to do that. Well, there's also broadcast rights that you have to deal with or live streaming rights. So there's other fees involved. We do need permission from the artists to record and live stream. So there are some technical challenges, sure, and then there's the sort of contractual obligations that we'll all be working for. The good news is artists have already got a good taste of live streaming on their own, so they're going to be much more receptive and to that process, and we've already made some contact with some of our nearest and dearest local musicians, and they're all in.
That's great. Now, as far as the fall season, I envision you, Nikki, and the senior team at Capital Santa Barbara sitting around a whiteboard or some equivalent and thinking about, okay, you know, the fall season hasn't been announced, and it's difficult because you don't know, you know, what the phased-in capacity is going to be, and also who knows if there's going to be a spike in COVID in this fall and so forth. So there's a lot of sort of, I'm assuming, scenario planning going on right now.
Yes, there is, and we were well on our way to having the season, at least most of the fall, fully booked when this, you know, came down in mid-March. We usually announce our fall season or following season, fall and spring, in May, and that has already gone by, and we did not do our open house or our fall season announcement. We hope to do it sometime in July. Time is getting short, though, and it all depends on what kind of capacity we can have at the Chubb Theater, at the large venue. Some shows are just not financially viable to bring in. You know, if an artist fee, for instance, costs $30,000 to pay the artist, you need to sell more than 300 seats, so you can't just socially distance the audience you would have to charge five times the price, basically. So we still hope to have our fall season. We're holding off just as long as we can before we have to start rescheduling things that are already scheduled in the fall. This is not something we love to do, but we've gotten pretty well practiced right now at moving shows from one date to another. But it feels a little bit like kicking the can down the road. So just as soon as we're certain that, you know, we can proceed in some manner, we'll be making announcements.
It sounds like some great scenario planning. And early in the show, in the first half of the show, you talked about the sort of the formula where you need tickets and sponsorships. And, of course, this the COVID crisis has sort of exacerbated that process, because now you're not getting able to go full capacity. You have to now pay for new technology to do some of the live streaming. But it sounds like you're going to handle it quite nicely. And we recognize, you know, that obviously this it's challenging. But I just give a sort of an endorsement to the Capital Center of the Arts, to my listening audience. And it makes sense to be a member now more than ever. And when there's either a virtual show or in-person shows coming up, buy some tickets. The website, again, is ccanh.com. So, Joe Gleason, you're a credit to the Capital Center of the Arts. Thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. And see you at a show.
Absolutely. And again, the website is ccanh.com.